beloved, welcome. Children of God, you are welcome in this place at this time. We are delighted that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today, as Diane brings us the message and in the liturgies, you will hear more about God's creation of this world for you and for me. So let's join together in the call to worship today. Behold, how manifold are God's works. God has made them all in wisdom. The earth is God's and everything in it. Let all of creation praise God's awesome deeds. And let us join together in lighting our candles for worship as we praise and honor the God of all creation, who at the beginning of everything was there thinking of you. Let us pray. Loving God, as we gather, we are thankful for your creation, for light and darkness, for air, wind and sky, for earth and sea, for seeds, harvests and plant life, for sunlight, moonlight and starlight, for every living creature, swarming, flying, creeping and grazing, for our lives. In our actions, meditations and prayers today, may we honor and celebrate you and your very good ongoing work of creation. And as we worship, may our gratitude and love for the community of creation around us deepen and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, let's say the prayer of confession together. Creator God, we come before you aware that much of your creation struggles. We begin to see and acknowledge the changes around us. We search for the causes and the cures and the collaborative ways we can commit to care for creation. We want to do what's right, but we don't always know what that is or agree how best to do it. Forgive us for the times we have failed to act in ways that love this earth. And forgive us for the times when our actions have been too little. Help us learn what we must, listening to the diverse voices of creation itself. Help us to understand and love what you have loved and called very good. Guide us as we try to discern how best to truly listen to each other as well as creation. And may the knowledge of your presence and the assurance of your love shape our living in this and all things. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Friends, in the goodness of the original garden, love was born. In the surprise of an Easter garden, love was reborn. So may this love be born in our hearts, minds, and bodies again today, as we rest in this promise that in Christ we have been forgiven and we are being made new. This is the good news of our gospel. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This Sunday, as we think about our relationship with the earth, we are hearing again this second story of creation. Today's reading is from Genesis 2, verses 4 to 25. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no vegetation of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord.
You have likely noticed by now that there is a theme for today's service. Today, we are focusing on our relationship with all of the rest of God's creation. We're thanking God for the incredible gift that this world and all its life is. And we're listening for how God may be calling us to love this world more fully. Now, if you pay attention to such things, you will know that last Sunday was actually Earth Day, the 22nd. And so you might understandably be wondering why we didn't dedicate this theme to last Sunday's service. Well, in part, we're doing this today to follow up on the movies that were actually shown here at the church yesterday. But honestly, it's also because as God's people, we're actually meant to be different than on this. Where the rest of the world actually needs to have a day dedicated to helping us intentionally focus on how we can live responsibly in ways that don't cause further harm to the earth, we don't actually need that special day, quite simply because for us, every day should really be Earth Day, not just April 22nd. Dear friends, as with so much in our lives, as Christians, we are called to more care, more love, more faithfulness in all things, including in our relationship with the rest of God's good creation. Now, I suspect that this is not a surprise for most of you, especially if you have been hanging your hat around here with some regularity. But for some people, this would and still does come as a little bit of a revelation, in large part because we haven't always done a great job of ensuring people know that caring for the earth is a central part of our discipleship. And it's not just the concern of those people who feel a particular call to encourage and lead creation care ministries. Some people certainly are led by God's Spirit to do that, but all of us, every one of us, has been called by God to care for the earth. And we know this is true for lots of reasons, particularly because of what Genesis tells us about how life began. In the very first two chapters of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we are given two perspectives on our creation story. The first chapter tells us of that progression of things being created through what it refers to as those first 6 days. We hear about God creating everything bit by bit and ending each day by looking at what he had created and seeing that it was good. Well, in Genesis 2, we get a slightly different view of creation with some different details. Both chapters describe the creation of humankind and our place in the larger created order. But Genesis 2 seems to describe that place in a much more relational way than the previous chapter does. So they are the same, but they're also different. As we think about our own place in God's creation, it's actually essential that we hold both those Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 perspectives together, rather than just focusing on one or the other. Let me explain what I mean by that. In Genesis 1, God creates humankind, we're told, in his image. God blesses them and tells them to be fruitful and increase in number. He commands them to fill and subdue, or as some translations put it, have dominion over the earth. In Genesis 1, there is this sense that humans were created to rule over the earth in some way. So let's hold that for a minute. And now think about how Genesis 2 describes our role in God's overall creation. On the surface, this second perspective seems to put it differently. Where Genesis 1 says that we are to have dominion over creation, Genesis 2 says this: "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it." We are to till, to work the earth, and we are to keep it. And that word keep is a really important word. It adds an essential dimension to our understanding of what God meant when he gave us dominion over the earth. The word keep means to watch for, to treasure, to preserve, and to protect. If we are ever tempted to read Genesis 1 and think that in giving us dominion over the earth, God gave us some sort of license to trample and use and abuse the world to satisfy our own needs and desires, if we're tempted to think that, Genesis 2 quickly corrects us in this. Yes, we do have dominion over the earth, but it is a dominion that is wielded in a very particular way, not in a way that is oppressive or destructive, but rather in a way that has a sense of responsibility to care for, to preserve and protect, to ensure that the earth lives and even thrives. Now, we are quite familiar with the word keep. It comes to us in another beloved passage in Scripture, one that we find in the book of Numbers. It is the very same word that is part of a blessing that God told Moses to give to the first priests to use when they were blessing God's people. And it is a blessing that we still use today in the church around the world and here quite frequently. You'll know it. The Lord bless you and keep you. There's the word, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. God told and continues to tell his priests today to pray this blessing over his people, because this is how God wants us to know him, as our God who does bless and keep us. Well, I encourage you to take a moment right now to think about what that blessing means to you when you hear it. The Lord bless you and keep you. What does it mean to you to know that God will bless you and keep you? Doesn't it give you a sense of assurance in God's care for you? That he is always with you, watching over you in love? Now think about what this means, that we are actually called to keep the earth in that same way. In the same way that God will keep us, in the same way God asks us to keep the earth. God has always asked us this, to take care of, protect this beautiful, complex, amazing, and yes, hurting planet and all of the life forms that we share it with. This call to be keepers of the earth was the very first call that God gave to humans, and it is still very much our call today. Not just on Earth Day, but every day. Well, in addition to tempering this idea of dominion with the understanding that we are called to be earth keepers, the Genesis 2 perspective of our creation story adds another very interesting detail. Here we are told that God brought all of the animals and birds he had created to the man, so that he could name them. God didn't name them, the man did. Can you sense echoes here of a parent naming their children? Isn't there some sense of deeper connection and responsibility we feel for someone or something that we've actually named? Doesn't what or who we name become ours to care for, to tend, and to keep? I think so. I think it does. I think this speaks to the relationship God has always meant for humans to have with creation. One where we do have a sense of responsibility for all life on earth. One where we naturally and happily bless and keep all living creatures, just as the Lord naturally and happily blesses us and keeps us. This isn't something that we do because we're afraid that if we don't, the earth won't be able to sustain life anymore. Fear was never meant to be our motivator. Rather, love and care. That sense of eternal connection with these creatures that we've named. And a desire to see them live and flourish. That was always meant to be our motivator. Which brings me to my last point for today. Today, as we focus on our relationship with creation and our call to care for it, we do so keenly aware that we are living in a time when there seems to be much evidence to suggest that we may have failed miserably in this, and we could be about to start to reap some rather harsh consequences. The conversation around climate change right now is huge. And mostly, it seems to be a conversation that is bathed in fear. Now, I am not saying that there is no reason to be concerned, not at all. But I do suspect that fear may not be the best motivator for us in this, especially because the problems that we seem to be facing seem so much bigger than you or I can figure out how to address. Fear can be paralyzing in those circumstances. I don't know what I can do. I'm afraid. So I do nothing. I'm wondering if that's what we're seeing happen in some parts of this whole thing. It's just my opinion, and you can feel free to tackle me on it if you like. But I really, really think we need to try to move this conversation away from fear and try to come at it in a different way. Instead of trying to stir us to change and action by focusing on fear, I think we'd be better to go way back to the beginning and follow God's lead by starting the way he started, with connection, relationship, with love. That love and connection, that sense of responsibility and care, a desire to see all of God's good creation flourish. Now that's a motivator. And I truly believe that we can reconnect with that part of what it means to be human, that part that has been in us since the very beginning. If we can connect with that, I think that we might find ourselves drawn to live in ways that actually do bring significant and meaningful change. Friends, with all due respect, I don't know that it actually matters what your opinion is on climate change. And people have differing opinions. But in some ways, as we think about this today, I wonder if that whole debate is a bit of a red herring. Because what actually matters more to us is that we are all human. And since the very beginning of time, a central part of what it means to be human is that we protect and we serve and we care for, we love and we keep all life on this earth. By God's design and by God's call, the very first call given to humankind, we are and always have been called to be earth keepers. All of us. Amen. Thank you.
At his voice. Good morning, my friends. I begin the prayers today with a quote from Hans Urs von Balthasar. There will never be beings unloved by God, since God is absolute love. Today's prayers are responsive. I say, Lord, open our ears, and the response is to hear our word. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. God of love, we pray for the loving family of St. Stephen's. We pray for those who lead us to your everlasting love, Diane, Phil, and Foster. We pray for those who help in so many other ways, Fiona and Adele. Open us to listen to your word and to do your will. Direct us in paths of faithful service that reflect your love. Lord, open our ears to hear your love. God of love, your beloved creation in our fragile home is so much with us. Sights, sounds, tastes, fragrances. We thank you for our mountains and oceans, for cities and wilderness. We ask you to renew the places that we have neglected or misused. Where natural disasters have altered the land, help us to honor nature's healing. Teach us to be better stewards of the earth. Lord, open our ears to hear your prayer. Now let us take a moment to reach out and ask for what we or those in our lives may need. Open your heart to the Lord and let him feel your needs. In turn, feel his love and warmth envelop you. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. God of love, we lift our eyes to you. You allow earthly events to follow their own course, and even your own son had to suffer and die. But your plan is already prepared, and you will act in our time according to your will. We pray, your will be done, your will. In the midst of all the suffering, let your love be revealed in many places, wherever it is possible for people to understand it. You have always protected us. Protect us still. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. God of love, we pray for the vision to see and the faith to believe in a world freed from violence, a new world where fear shall no longer lead men to commit injustice, nor selfishness make them bring suffering to others. We ask you to bring an end to the violence and fear throughout the world. Restore our faith in humanity and bring peace to the world. Lord, open our ears to hear the word. God of love, we thank you that our time of worship renews our faith and trust in you and your risen Son, Jesus Christ. Send us out into the coming week ready to show your gratitude as we pray the prayer taught to us by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Will you join me in praying to dedicate all of the gifts given so generously this week to God's mission? God of creation, we are thankful for your awesome work in creation. You have weaved all of life together, and it is very good. We are grateful for all that protects and cares for your good works, the sunlight and water that sustains life, the earth that grounds and nourishes life, and the delicate systems of life that exist all around us, all of these your gifts to us. We ask you to bless the gifts we have returned to you this week. May we continue to follow in the way that you are leading with hopeful and daring hearts until we see your kingdom come with peace and justice and wholeness for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning, folks. It's great to be back to bring you a board update from our April board meeting. And one of the first things I wanted to do was just say on behalf of the board how much we value the involvement that all of you have in our worship services and our activities of our church, whether it's just being here on a Sunday morning or being online with us Sunday or throughout the week, and financially supporting the church or with your prayers. The board just wanted to say thank you very much for doing that. At our board meeting last week, we talked about the coldest night of the year walk, which was very successful for St. Stephen's last year and for the Island Crisis Care Society. And they've asked us to join with them again next year to host the 10th anniversary coldest night of the year walk. So we're doing some crossing of the T's and dotting of the I's, and hopefully we'll be able to confirm very soon that February 24th, 2024, we'll be hosting the coldest night of the year walk. As well, I've got confirmation from Chef Andy that we've got a number of gentlemen who have offered up their favorite or famous chili recipes for a fellowship event that we're planning here at the church at St. Stephen's in our parking lot or in our hall, depending on the weather, on June the 24th. So mark your calendars and come and join us for some really great fellowship, getting to know the people who you see in church on Sunday, but maybe don't always get a chance to talk to. So that's June 24th, chili cook-off here right at St. Stephen's. I'm sure you all are aware as well that Reverend Diane is taking some time to refresh and renew after 14 years of dedicated service here at St. Stephen's. The board, when she asked us if she could take a little time off, fully supported her in doing that, just giving her a chance to kind of renew her life and her commitment to God. And we know that she's going to have a good time from July through to the middle of October, and she'll be back with us in the middle of October, probably taking us places that we maybe hadn't thought we might go before, but we're certainly looking forward to that. And in the meantime, as I said last month or last report, we're blessed as a church to have people like Foster and Phil and Jane and many others to fill in those gaps that Reverend Diane will leave while she's away. But we know that everything will be well covered, whether it's the faith leadership or the pastoral care or the staff management issues that all get dealt with by our Reverend Diane when she's around. So we're in a very good shape and wish Diane all the very best on this refreshing time that she's going to take. The board promised you at the annual meeting that we would take a look at the third quarter and the first quarter and the second quarter financials very closely to see if the $16,000 deficit budget that we presented at the annual meeting made sense, or if we needed to do something different than we're doing. And I can tell you that the budget we presented was very close to being accurate, although there were some discrepancies in it, and all of those were rather negative in terms of getting our financial house in order and getting away from the deficit budget that we have. So, but we know that we don't like talking about money, and we know that none of us is particularly adept at doing so, but we know we're in good company when we do it, because Jesus Christ's parables, two-thirds of his parables were about money, so we know we're in good company when we're talking about it. But we had to decide who would do it, so we drew straws, and I got the short straw, but I'm happy to have it, and partly because last time that we met, or last time I spoke to you, I talked about a book called Following the Cloud that kind of helps you understand, as you're doing God's work and as God's calling you to do things, there's going to be great rewards of love and grace and many blessings, but once in a while it's going to rain. So I'm okay doing this because I think it's the right thing for me to be doing right now. So in thinking about how to talk to you about money without you turning off your television set, I got to thinking about, so what did we used to do as a family, when we were going to church and giving money to God on a Sunday basis, and we would sit down every Sunday and write out a check or put cash into an envelope, bring that envelope to church, put that envelope on the offering plate. And so every Sunday we thought about money and what we were giving to God and God's church from the gifts, many gifts that he had given us, about four times a week, eh? So I think it's okay to talk about it. And I know that we don't, all of us, put checks on the plate anymore. We don't even pass an offering plate at St. Stephen's because most of our givings come in through PAR. And I don't want to discourage you from using our pre-authorized remittance forms, because it does give us a lot of predictability as a board of directors when we're trying to figure out how to run an organization as big as St. Stephen's United Church is. So please don't stop doing your PAR things just so that you can think about financing the church and your stewardship responsibilities there. So, but one of the things that I want to pass on to you is the board talks regularly about, so how do we fund the core church at St. Stephen's? And we have a very strong sense that the congregation needs to fund the church building, the minister's salary, the other salaries, and some of the basic mission work that we do here at St. Stephen's. And that's why we get a little concerned when we see the numbers starting to slide a little bit. So what we're going to talk about is kind of where are we at, given the end of the first quarter is done, the end of March, and what are the differences that we're seeing? And so when we started into this year, we were hoping that by the end of the first quarter, we would have received $61,250. And in fact, we received $54,000. And that's a shortfall of about $7,000. On the other hand, we had our expenses set out at $93,300, and actually we spent only $87,100, so an underspending of $6,200. And that leaves us with a deficit for the first quarter of roughly $1,200. Now that doesn't sound too bad, and you know, if that was all the issues we had, we wouldn't even likely be talking about it. But the reality is, we had a projected deficit of $16,000, and we just added $1,200 to that. So now it's $17,200, or in that neighborhood. Eh? So we haven't made the kind of progress that we'd hoped to. Incomes to the church did go up, and thank you very much to all of you that increased your givings. Most gratefully accepted, and it keeps us here on a regular basis. But the board's a bit concerned that if we follow this path, by decreasing expenses to balance our budget, that the ministries and the missions that we're performing just simply aren't going to be able to exist in the long term. Now, things are always changing. And as I said, Reverend Diane's going on a leave of absence, which is unpaid. So that will change the dynamics in our budget. We've had a couple of donations from previous members of the congregation, which were greatly accepted and lovingly received. And that gives us some cushion to manage our church finances with. But it doesn't address the core issue of having the congregation fund the building, the salaries, and the basic ministry costs of our congregation, which are in our budget this year. So as a board, at the end of this quarter, the end of next quarter, we'll look again. But as we look out to 2024 and starting to think about what size is our church when we get to 2024, how are we going to fund that? And the question we have to stop and ask ourselves is, how big is it going to be? How much ministry can we afford to do? And the answer sometimes comes back is, it might be smaller. Is it going to be smaller? We don't want it to be smaller. As stewards of God's church, we need to be thinking about the various messages that we receive from God and through the prophets about being generous. And for one of them is Paul's message to the Galatians, where Paul talks about Christians being people who express love, peacefulness, joy, kindness, generosity, and gentleness. And yes, generosity is amongst those characteristics. Christians are meant to be generous people in many ways, and financial support for God's church is one of those many ways. Now, the board wants to be very clear here in that we know some members of the congregation have given until it hurts, and we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And we don't expect more from you in terms of supporting the growth and the livelihood of this congregation. But we do kind of think there might be 15 or 25 or 30 people in church on Sundays or online who in fact can help us get past this deficit this year. And that means changing givings of $10 a week or $12 a week more that will help us get to a balanced budget at the end of this year and help us get to a point where we can say, no, our church doesn't have to be smaller. It can be bigger. It can grow. Eh? So that's an important piece, but thank you very much to all of those of you who have given until it just becomes almost unbearable, and we hate even asking, but thank you so much to you for doing that. Now, we all know how great we feel at the fall annual meeting where after the fundraising dinner and we've raised a bunch of money that helps to support the church, and that feeling lasts for 2 or 3 weeks or even a month. Wouldn't it be nice to have that feeling last all year long with our givings and just be comfortable that we've got a well-funded church and a church that can do the missions and the ministries that we need to be done here in Oceanside? I don't think I need to remind you, but please remember that here at St. Stephen's, we're all stewards building a place of worship where anyone and everyone will want to come and worship God. The last thought I'll leave you with is if you're hesitating a little bit on whether or not you want to give a little more money to the church, I'll just ask yourself one question. What would Jesus do? Thanks for listening.
Friends, go now, walking gently on this good earth, living in right relationship with each other and with creation, nurtured by God's love and open to the winds of the Spirit. Let us live taking only what we need, remaining open to the needs of others, and making choices that will bring well-being to those around us. Let us live with generosity, striving for justice and honoring all with reverence. And let us live as a reconciling and peacemaking people, recognizing our proper place in God's creation and always living in ways that are mindful of those who come after us. As we go, may God grant us all strength and courage to be people who share our hope for the restoration and the renewal that will come with God's kingdom. Amen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. And if the stars were made to worship so light, God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nations If the stars are made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. And if the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. Down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, a hundred billion things disappear. Where you lost your life.